You are listening to the Way of Truth broadcast. This program originates in the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. This is Alvin A. Craig speaking, inviting you to stay with us for today's Way of Truth broadcast. The Son, therefore, shall make you free. You shall be free indeed. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of presenting your gospel to this precious congregation today. Wherever this broadcast is being aired and heard, we pray the Holy Spirit will accompany it and make it a blessing to souls. We thank you for the gospel. We thank you for the power of the gospel, and we're praying that you'll bless this broadcast to each and to every heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Long ago.
thoughts for today's broadcast, spiritual and carnal. And our text of Scripture is found in Romans chapter 8 and verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. There are two states we find mankind in today, spiritual and carnal. Now these two natures determines how the family of man lives. When God formed Adam, He gave him a divine nature, the same for Eve. This is clearly shown by God's statement, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." So God created man in His own image, Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. With the divine nature, their disposition was to love God supremely. God made man with a free will, which means he had the ability of making choices. The doctrine of predestination denies this truth. Nevertheless, it is a truth. God made man a free will with a free will, which means that he had the ability and the responsibility of making choices. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the garden and the command not to eat of this shows man had the ability to choose. It was also they were on probation, which is a period of testing as to the performance of duty. The first act of disobedience when Satan came into the garden and tempted Eve, the first stage of the temptation was to cause Eve to doubt God's goodness. The devil said to her that, you know, this is good and God is withholding it from you. And so he was implanting in her mind the idea that God was not letting them have something that was good for them, which, of course, was a lie. The second was to beget in her mind unbelief concerning the truthfulness of God's warning of death for eating. In other words, he was endeavoring to make her believe that God had told them a lie. For God said, "In the day that you eat of the fruit of that tree, you shall surely die." But Satan said to her, "You will not die." So he was saying, in effect, that God had lied to her. Now the third was to awaken in her an ambition to be like God, which was prompted by sinful pride. What she did not seem to realize and to know that she was already like God as far as her nature was concerned. For again, God made them with the divine nature. And Satan was misrepresenting the truth when he told her that she would be wise, knowing good and evil. And of course, in one sense of the word, she did know good and evil. But you know, there's a lot of things in this old world we're better off not knowing. It's good to know good, but it's not good to know evil. So she did not need to know good and evil. What she needed to do was to believe God and obey God. But she disobeyed God by obeying Satan. Their fall was by deliberate, intentional volition of the divine commandment. Both of them knew what God had said. Yes, they knew what God had said. Therefore, they were accountable for their actions. And so this fall, this act of disobedience, was deliberate, intentional, volitional of the divine command. And as a result, They sinned, and their sin was imputed to them, so they died, spiritually speaking. And not only that, they lost their divine nature, and they became carnal in nature. Because of this change, mankind that followed was affected. For we read in the Scriptures, in Adam all die. Each one comes in this world with a bent towards sin. I repeat, each one comes into this world with a bent towards sin. That is a natural tendency to sin. Observation shows that from earliest childhood, a disposition to commit sin exists. Thus, when one commits a known sin, they die and need to be born again or regenerated. Christ died for all. Not one text in all the Bible states that Christ did not die for all, or for that he died only for an elect few. The Bible does not teach that. The Bible teaches that Jesus Christ tasted death for every man. The Bible also teaches us that very familiar scripture, God so loved the world, that's the world of people. God so loved the world of people that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So after they had sinned, repentance was necessary to obtain salvation from their lost state. Repent ye and believe the gospel, Mark 1:15. We also read in the book of Luke where Jesus spoke about those that Pilate mixed their blood with, and he asked them, do you think they were more sinful than others? Nay, I say unto you, except you all repent, you shall likewise perish. Do you think that those that died there when the tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think that was because they were more wicked than others? Nay, I say unto you, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. So repentance is a must for salvation. Now this brings what the Scriptures call justification. We are justified. Never are we justified of living in sin, but when God pardons us, when he forgives us, then we stand justified in his sight. And the second part, or the second phase of the first work of grace, is regeneration, which means an acquittal, by being justified, acquittal, and then pardoned, and then born again or regenerated. And being justified, pardoned, he has been regenerated, and we have spiritual life again. Now, we are made members of God's church whenever we are justified, regenerated. Acts 2:47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Since depravity remains in one who has been regenerated, there is a need of a second cleansing, which is generally called sanctification, in which all depravity is removed. Yes, all depravity is removed, and only the divine nature is left, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. 2 Peter 1:4. With the divine nature, one will naturally be spiritually minded. A spiritual minded person has an interest in spiritual things, and that's a natural thing. A spiritual minded person has a mind or an interest in spiritual things. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. And the word, we understand the word flesh here to mean carnal. For they that are after the flesh, they that are carnally minded, they mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So Romans 8 and 5 says. A spiritually minded person is attentive to spiritual teaching and preaching. You will not find them rebelling against the truth. The spiritually minded enjoy fellowshipping with the saints and talking about spiritual things. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Psalm 133:1. Spiritually minded people will want to stay together and not allow a spirit of division to come in. I say spiritually minded people will want to stay together. They will want to maintain that unity of spirit and unity of faith. And we're told, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. So spiritually minded people will want to assemble with other saints of God in divine worship. Jesus said, the Father seeketh such to worship Him as will worship Him in spirit and in truth. So not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Hebrews 10:25. The wicked and ungodly day and age in which we live today, with immorality increasing daily, it seems, there is all the more reason why we should meet with other saints of God to get our own soul fed and to be strengthened and to fellowship together. The psalmist said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Going to the house of the Lord to worship with other saints of God is not an unpleasant task. It is a pleasant thing. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Psalm 122:1. A spiritually minded person has his affection set on things above. While he's carnal, he's interested in the things of the world, and he follows after the things of the world. But when you become spiritually minded, when you're saved and filled with the Spirit of God and are spiritually minded, then you are to set your affections on things above. Set your affections on things above, not on the things of the earth. For you are dead, that is, dead to sin, and your life is hid with Christ in God. You have died to sin, you've died to the world, you've died to the love of the world. That scripture that I just quoted is Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2. Material things do not mean more to you than spiritual things when you are spiritually minded. A spiritually minded person is submissive to the Word of God. Man shall not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only. So a spiritually minded person is submissive to the Word of God. He will also listen to those who have the rule over them and are preaching to them the gospel of Christ. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, and they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Notice it says, if you do not heed the word of God, and then if you do not obey those that have the rule over you, then that's unprofitable, but it's unprofitable to you. The one who is faithful and true to you in preaching you the gospel, in blowing the trumpet, he is clear of your blood if you disobey and disregard the preaching of the word. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Romans chapter 8, verses 5 and 6. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Romans 8 and 14. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5, 25. Now our subject is spiritual and carnal. And so I will close our message today by reading Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 23. And please note the difference in these two. Galatians chapter 5, beginning with verse 19. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murderers, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now that is not a complete list of the carnal or fleshly things, but it does give us a picture of what is carnal and what people do when they are carnal. Now, following that, we'll read what the spiritual-minded will do. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. You can have all that you want. How beautiful are the spiritually minded and the fruit of the spiritual minded, and how ungodly and evil are the works of the flesh. And remember, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, or they that are spiritually minded, are after spiritual things, and they have a spiritual mind, and they have life, and they have peace. Thank God today for life in Christ and the peace that He gives, for the privilege of being spiritually minded, living in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, and thus producing the fruit of the Spirit. Heavenly Father, we pray that You'll bless these thoughts to our precious congregation today. We trust that the scriptures and thoughts that we have presented to them have proven to be a blessing to them. And we trust that You'll use these thoughts to help precious souls to see the need of being spiritually minded and not carnally minded. So we pray You'll bless each one in our congregation today. In Jesus' name, amen. You've been listening to the Way of Truth broadcast, and we would be thankful if you would take time to write and let us know that you hear and appreciate our broadcast. Our postal address is The Way of Truth, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. That's The Way of Truth broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Now, our email address is truth@fred.net. truth@fred.net, our email address. Our fax number, 301-739-7173. 301-739-7173, our fax number. And our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org. On our webpage, you can read our monthly Way of Truth magazine. You can also listen to previous broadcasts if there have been some you have missed or some that you'd like to hear over again. And you can also join us in our services as they are broadcast live over the Internet. Our Sunday morning service begins 20 minutes before 11, and our Sunday evening service begins at 6, and our midweek service Wednesday evening at 7. Our webpage address again, www.wayoftruth.org. And now this is Alvin A. Craig. Thank you for being a part of our congregation today, and we invite you to be with us next week when we come your way, the Lord willing, with another Way of Truth broadcast.